You know, you really can't receive from God until you're free. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God released the laughing spirit in here a couple weeks ago, didn't he? Because he said we needed the laughter for what we're coming up against. So, I just enjoy laughing at the devil, though, don't you? Isn't he stupid? He just comes in and he just thinks he's so smart. He's about the most stupid thing I've ever heard about. Come on. And what's even more stupid is people allow him to use them to be stupid. Because he wouldn't be in here if you didn't open up your vessel and let him in. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? You know, you have to open up your vessel and let him come into your vessel, then he uses you. So, come on. You can't blame the devil for it, anything that happens, because you allowed it to happen. You take your responsibility. Say, well, if I wouldn't open the door, he couldn't have come in. Amen? Well, God said church wasn't going to be as usual. He's been telling us for a couple of years now. And lo and behold, I think it's in Chicago, I forgot what some state. They're holding a great big meeting to prove that church isn't as usual. You have to pay to go there to hear what they have to say and everything. And they're going to be praising, dancing, and shouting, and preaching, and doing everything. But now they're actually holding meetings so that the people see that church isn't as usual. And believe me, our church is not as usual. I don't know what to expect when I come in here. Three quarters of the time, I don't even know what to do when I get in here. Amen. It just depends on what wild bunch shows up. Yeah. And my morning bunch didn't show up because of recitals and graduations and stuff like that. But you night bunch here, you showed up and you really do your thing. Come on. Aren't you glad you're free to laugh? Amen. Amen. You know, the person I was talking about this morning, they called me and, you know, been backslidden. They called me this afternoon and they were laughing. Yesterday they were crying. Today they were laughing. And they said, after you prophesied to me yesterday, I went to bed and God gave me a dream. She told me a dream, and the dream was exactly what God prophesied to her over about 12 years ago. I said, God told you, hang on to what he's promised you, and he showed her in a dream what he promised her, and now she doesn't care what she sees or hears. She knows that her promise from God is coming to pass. This year. Not 20 years ago, but this year. And she was just as happy as she could be. If you'd heard her yesterday, she said, I don't hold you up as God, but I do believe every word God says to you because it always comes to pass. So that's why I called you yesterday, and I'm so glad I did. But to tell you the truth, she'd been calling me for 3 days, Carolyn, and could not get a hold of me. So finally, I was in the shower yesterday, Saturday, and the phone was ringing, and I said, I'm going to see who that is. And I reached out through the shower curtain, and there she was. And I said, can I please just get out of the shower, and I'll call you right back. She said, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 3 days. But, you know, God knew the right day for her to get a hold of me. She really did. Well, she knew the perfect timing, right? God knew the perfect timing and had me pick the phone up. They're just going to continue to do this. I can see that right now. Adam, aren't you glad you're here tonight? I knew Adam would say that. He needed a good release of laughter. I did too, and I really tried to laugh and I couldn't, but that's okay. You really don't want to see me really laugh. Because I cannot get stopped. Gabriel said, oh no, there she goes again. When I start laughing, I can't quit. I choke. If you ever laugh so hard, you choke yourself, you know? And you're gasping for breath, and you still keep laughing. I don't laugh very often, but when I do, I get a good one going. And every time, though, I hate to say this, every time something comes up that I needed to laugh about before it ever happened. But that's all right. God is God. I do laugh, but not like you're doing tonight. But I just thank God that he's God. I thank God that we do hear his voice. And I thank God you people were obedient tonight and did what God told you to do. And I thank God that that set the atmosphere free to for God to come and do whatever he has to do, wants to do. Nobody has to do what he wants to do. And I'm so glad Barbara Alsap's here because you keep inviting people and they come and they're looking for you and you're not here. So. And I talked about you this morning. I said you should not hold meetings on a Sunday. That was God's day. It doesn't matter. That's God's day. So anyhow, we're not. That's it. I'm done with talking about that. Tonight I want to talk about a prophet knows the time and the seasons. So many people tell everybody they're a prophet, and they really are not. You know, there are prophets, and then there are prophets, right? There are prophets, there are people truly called of God, and then there are just prophets, people who prophesy every now and then, but they're not really called to be hold the office of a prophet. There is a difference. So if Jesus has called you as a prophet, then he's called you to lead, to intercede, and to know the times and the seasons. He's called you to lead, to intercede, and to know the times and seasons. Every prophet holds spiritual keys from heaven within a specific metron. Now, a metron is a Greek word that means major and limited portion. You know, we prophesy in part, right? But a true prophet, you know, a called, and you know, if you prophesy, you're still a true prophet. But if you're called in the office of a prophet, God will speak things into your life that he's not, you know, he'll tell you things of things to come in full and complete detail. He'll tell you whether it's going to happen now or whether it's going to happen later on down the road. People who just prophesy will just prophesy, you know, sporadically to different people. But God isn't revealing to them what's going to happen in the world. Now, see, Carol Ann's sitting here, and she teaches on this, too. So she's going to listen, and she's going to critique me. But that's okay. I really don't care. The Apostle Paul, being aware of his metron, you know, his measure and limited portion, was diligent to stay within his God-assigned sphere and showed tremendous ministry impact as a result. In 2 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you." Now, see, God has called me to be the pastor of the Lighthouse Church, so this is where most of my prophetic work is done. And what he does is he reveals to me what's going on in each one of your lives. And as each one of you can testify, I've called you and said, you know, I've asked you a question. I said, God's laid me upon your heart and this and this and this and this. And he's telling me what's going on in your life before you even know it. All right? Prophets in their zeal will sometimes act outside of their assignment. If you're called in the office of a prophet, you have to be very careful of people who call you on the phone and are insisting that you prophesy to them because they might be outside of your zone. And so don't make up something to tell them. If you're not hearing from God, then just say, I'm just not hearing, and let it go at that, because they're trying to get you out of the zone that God has placed you in. At best, the prophets' time, energy, and money are wasted trying to make something happen he or she is not assigned to. And see, this happens to me, too, to people that I prophesy to, people who come here and I prophesy to, or they even call on the phone and they just know me because they just heard about me. And they want me to give them a word from the Lord. And I'm saying, I'm sorry, I just don't hear nothing. Well, you're a prophet, you have to hear something. Well, no, I don't. No, I don't. I'm just not hearing. And even people who come here and who have not come for a while, they'll call me and say, I need to hear from God. And God doesn't say a word. And then what he said the other day was, if they want to hear from me, let them come into the house of God. You know, they don't want to come into church, but yet they want to get on the phone and have you prophesy to them. And God's not doing that. He's just not doing that. And sometimes what happens, too, is, you know, God speaks and speaks and speaks to people, and they don't act on what he tells them to do. And then they're all upset, and they call, and they want me to tell them something else. And God says, I'm not telling them anything else because they haven't acted on the first thing I told them. So just don't let people pull you out of, and see, so they're still my people, But because they haven't been obedient to God and done what God told them to do, he's not going to say another word to them. And just like this one person said, well, every time I call you, you have a word for me. And I said, but you have not been obedient to what God has told you to do. And he's not speaking today. It's not me. He's just not speaking today. In extreme cases, the safety of the prophet is jeopardized as they ventured so far away from their assignment that they've stepped outside of God's protection. And the example is the prophet Jonah. My point is, it's important to know your metron and to steward it well if you want to experience the ministry impact God has intended for you. All right? Another thing, if you're called to be a prophet and people are calling, they want a prophet to come to their church, because I've made this error, don't take every assignment that gets on your telephone. You need to ask God first, do you want me to go there? Because God might not want you to go to that church, because he knows what's going on in that church, and so he does not want you to go there. So just say, well, I just can't make it. God won't let me come. And just let it go at that. You know, what to think of you doesn't matter, does it? You know, it's what God thinks of you, and are you being obedient to what God is telling you to do? Excuse me, as Carol Ann was telling this morning, Reverend Carol Ann was telling this morning how I think she said 12 years or something like that. You know, I mentored her, and even though she was living in Florida, she was still in my mentron. This is where she first was, and God started using me to minister to her there then, and he always, every time she called, he always had a word of instruction for her. In fact, he would tell me that she was going to call, and sometimes he would say, she's going to be upset. And I'm not going to really speak what she wants to hear, but I'm going to speak what she needs to hear. So, you know, even though she was living in Florida and I was here, she was still somebody that I was supposed to mentor. So get that right, too. Excuse me. So what time is it? Every prophet needs to ask this question. A prophet watches over and stewards the times and seasons within their spiritual assignment. The prophet Habakkuk demonstrates this concept, instructing us to write down the vision now, even though it's not for now, but for an appointed time. So Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The person I was talking to this morning, God prophesied to her 10, 12 years ago what was going to happen in her life, and all hell has been going for 10 or 12 years. And her question the other day when she called, is it ever going to end? And God suggests it is. This is a time and a season for it to end. So even though she's been going through all this for 10 or 12 years, hanging on to what God promised her and all hell breaking loose against her, God said, finally, this is a time and this is a season for it to happen. All right. God actively works out his purposes over chronological time. But God, who sits outside of time, will then interrupt chronological time to release his appointed season. In the book of Haggai, for example, the remnant Israelites did not believe it was time to rebuild the house of the Lord. They built their own houses, but neglected the Lord's house and did so to their detriment. God then spoke the appointed time to the prophet Haggai. It was now time to rebuild the house of the Lord. Haggai acted on that word and successfully initiated a new season with the people. The people stepped into the appointed time of the Lord and rebuilt the temple of as Haggai stood by, encouraging them to be strong and work. The Holy Spirit once gave me a vision about a previous mayor. I'm going to stop there. So a couple years ago, God told me it's time to rebuild the Lighthouse Church. I spoke this to the people who were here at that time, and I said, we have to get together. We have to be in unity, and we have to rebuild the church. Nobody would get in unity, and God could not rebuild the church. So he started shaking the church and shaking out those who were against and not for. And then, six months ago, God said again, it is time now. And he told me, now is the time to rebuild the Lighthouse Church, and no man or no woman is going to stand against this rebuilding. He said, I will remove anybody that comes against you. You will rebuild at this time. And so we've been rebuilding. So see, we missed the first season. So we had to wait a couple years for this. See, we should be further along right now than what we are, but because the people were not ready to build, and I couldn't get them to build, they wouldn't move for nothing. You know, I couldn't make them do what they didn't want to do. Then God had to remove them so he could rebuild. Now, this young lady says the whole... where am I at? At the time... Where were I at here? Okay, the Holy Spirit once gave me a vision about a previous mayor in my city. I think this is interesting. At the time of the vision, he had served in his position for nearly 2 decades and had a good reputation. I held no complaint about this conduct, his conduct or decisions, nor did anyone else that I knew of. I wanted to clarify that, as sometimes we have visions based on our own biases. You have to be very careful of that. It's important to have a clean heart before we act on such things. If I don't have a clean heart about a situation, I will call somebody else and ask them to pray about it. Because I don't want my messed up heart to mess up a word that God's trying to speak. The vision looked like a mini movie that took over my imagination for a few seconds and then it would repeat itself. I would watch myself walk over to our city hall, take off my watch, and then throw it to the ground. Once I did that, I would then proclaim a blessing to the mayor and an end to his assignment. Since I've never moved a government person out of office before with a prophetic act, I decided to bring a few people to witness it. Did you ever know that you could do something with a prophetic act? My people don't. But so see, you might have to do a prophetic act to get what God told you is supposed to happen. You might have to do a prophetic act to get it to happen. Then she went on to say, after a prayer service, I walked over to our city hall with a church board member and his wife and then conducted the departure ceremony just as I saw it in the vision. She did everything she saw in the vision through her watching the ground and everything. A few weeks later, the local newspaper issued a report that the mayor would not be seeking another reelection. The Holy Spirit was calling for a new season in our local government, and I was given the task to prophetically usher in the appointed time. Our dreams and our visions are very, very important. We need to start looking at our dreams and at our visions. We need to start understanding what God is telling us in our dreams and in our visions. This person who wrote some of this article said that she's a little bit like me. she wouldn't get the whole, remember I say I'd just get a word or two and couldn't figure out what God was saying, and she did the very same thing, and eventually, you know, God would give her the complete picture. So God might give you a little bit here and a little bit there, but keep remembering what he gave you, and then he will finally put it all together, and then you are to act on what he's telling you to do. Prophets need to discern the right word for the right time. How many of you people have wanted to tell somebody something, but you just couldn't say it? You just could not say it. Your mouth, your tongue was glued to the top of the roof of your mouth. Then all of a sudden one day when you're not even thinking about it, bloop, out it all comes. See, when you wanted to say it, it was not the right season, it wasn't the right time. But God knew the right timing, and then whenever he does use your mouth to speak, everything is lines up. Everything's in perfect order. So remember that. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. You can override God's will, you know. You know, when he's trying to tell you to be quiet, you can override that and say, I'm going to say what I want to say. I don't care what anybody thinks. But don't do that because you will destroy what God's trying to do. This third chapter of Ecclesiastes gives us a list of 14 opposites with an instruction that there is a season and timing for everything. The third chapter of Ecclesiastes. You can read that when you go home. What is the point of this passage? The point is the right word for one season is a wrong word in another season. The right word in one season is a wrong word in another season. For example, there are seasons that we are to build and other seasons we are to tear down. And see, that's what I'm saying. When you want to say something and you can't, that was not the season to tear down. That was a season to build. But then eventually when it's time to tear down, then God will allow you to say what you know in your heart you're supposed to say. In some seasons we are called to fight and other seasons we are to rest. And God just had me in that season of complete rest. I didn't care what was going on around about me. I couldn't do anything. I just rested, you know, in him. I didn't sleep. I just rested in him and just let him go ahead and do what he had to do. He said, I want you just to rest and I'll do what needs to be done. So you have to know when the season is to fight and you have to know when the season is to just rest and let him take care of the situations in your life. All right? This is important. You have to understand this. A lot of you in here do prophesy. I don't know how many of you have been called to the office of the prophet, but a lot of you do prophesy. And you have to understand what God is doing in your life. As a prophet, we are to counsel those who are holding on to their prophetic words past. All right, let's read that again. As a prophet, we are to counsel those who are holding on to their prophetic words past their expiration dates. So your prophetic words have a shelf life. Prophetic words often have a shelf life and need to be released once the season of their application has passed. In other words, if some, you know, God speaks something over your life and it doesn't happen, and you know the season comes, you just need to let it go. You've missed something, you just need to let it go, and then God has to reconstruct, He'll re-speak. See, this is why it's so important that we do what we're supposed to do in the right timing, in the right season, because if not, then your prophetic word just goes to naught. And this is why you have to be diligent to do everything God's telling you to do. If you need a deliverance, you need to get a deliverance. If you're full of pride, you need to get rid of pride. You need to do whatever God is telling you to do, because if not, you're going to miss it, and it's not going to happen. If God has promised you a home and 2-3 years are going by, I would really get before God's face and say, where did we miss it? It expired. What do we do now, Lord, to get it to active again? All right? Prophets proclaim the new word for the new season, thus providing the body of Christ with fresh oil and fresh revelation. I just told you when he told us to rebuild the church that people wouldn't do it, and we missed it. Then God's come around now, and I wasn't going to miss it this time. I'm telling you, I learned my lesson. There's a lot of things that God has prophesied in my life, and other people have held them up. I'm not going to allow that no more. I'm not going to allow anybody else to hold up any of my blessings that God wants to give me. If you want to go down your line of dumbness, well, go ahead. I'm not going there with you. I'm not, and you shouldn't either. You know, people will leave you. You know, just like when I started church in my home, and it was, we kept growing in, you know, kept going from the living room to the kitchen, and we had everything all filled up, and the people said, you need to get out in the public so people, you know that you're around. Well, when the people knew we was around, that's why we was growing. And I listened to the people, and I didn't pray. I didn't seek God's face. And so we ended up at this place, and do you know what? Those people left me. We was in here about a month, and they left me. They got me out. Yeah, you know, I got out of the will of God, because these people insisted that I do what they were saying, and I did. So I'm going to tell you this: don't do what people's telling you to do. You need to seek God's face. You need to do what God is telling you to do. Amen. And I know there's people that think they're hearing God's voice, but they're not, because they want to do a certain thing, and nobody's telling them to do that, so they say God told them. Now, if you're a true prophet, God's going to speak to you about, all right, so I'm the pastor of this church, and I know I'm a prophet of God. And so God will tell me what's on all of your hearts. He tells me what you're even thinking and doing. One time this lady walked up to me and said, God, and well, the night before, God said, so-and-so is going to come to you, and they're going to say this, 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 and this, and it isn't of me. Lo and behold, next day was Sunday, the person came up to me and said, God said this, 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 and this. And so I'm leaving the church because God said, told that. You see, God had already told me the night before what they were going to do. And so they come up to me and told me, and I said, well, I wish you the best. And they went on. But then they came back, saying, well, God told me now it's time to come back again. And then whenever I ruffled their feathers again, God said I had to leave again. You know, come on, guys. Let's get it real. When you're under a prophet, you need to understand that God's going to tell the prophet what's going on. And you're going to stand there lying through your teeth. And they're going to stand there just smile at you so sweetly and wish you the best and move you on. I mean, a true prophet, but they're not going to act like a fool to you. So, my word for you tonight is, don't lie to a prophet. Don't try to play games with a prophet, because you're only playing games with yourself, and you're only lying to yourself. Where am I at? As a prophet, how do we know what season it is? The one who holds the key to time is the Holy Spirit, and he is faithfully partnering with his prophets to reveal what time it is. Do you know a lot of people out there saying Christ is coming in September? You know, I keep getting this email of an update, of getting ready for the return of Christ in September. Get out of here. You know, my word tells me nobody knows except the Father. Come on. You know, I don't even bother telling them they're wrong because they think they're right. And they demand that they're right, you know. So what you do with people like that, you just smile and go on because you can't change them. Just say, God, they're in your hands, and you reveal the truth to them. So I'm telling you, prophets in here, even if you're just prophesying, you know, if they don't receive you, just go on. I told you a story about one time when I prophesied this man, and he called me. He said, this is a lie. I said, what's a lie? I didn't know who he was. He said, this tape I'm holding in my hand. He said, what you said on this tape is a lie. And I said, you don't receive that? No, I don't. It's not the truth. I said, are you near garbage can? He said, yeah. I said, throw it in there and walk on. And I hung up, you know. You know, just don't listen to it again. So I wasn't being smart. It's the truth. If you don't want to accept that, then throw it away. It's not doing you any good. Amen? I didn't know the man then, and I don't know him now. I didn't know him on the phone. All I knew is he was saying what I said wasn't true, and I know that God spoke through me. What time is it now? If someone were to ask me what time it is prophetically, I would say it's a time of restoration of all things. And see, God has told me that it is the time of restoration of all things. This is a time, this is a season, he's going to restore all things that the palmer and the cankerworm has stolen from you. So do you want to believe it's a time of restoration or do you not? God wants to restore to you what the palmer and the cankerworm has stolen. I don't know about you, but I tell God I want it 100-fold. One day I was upset. I said, I want 1,000-fold today, devil. You know, you've stolen all you're going to steal from me. Come on. You know, you don't have to receive it. I don't really care. I know that one thing, God said it was restoration time. You can read about that in Mark 9:12 and Acts 3:21. The prophet Malachi pointed to a time when the spirit of Elijah would come to initiate a profound restoration of bloodline blessings and families. Now listen to this. We'll read that again. The prophet Malachi pointed to a time when the spirit of Elijah would come to initiate a profound restoration of bloodline blessings and families. Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now this shifts our focus from breaking family curses to actually discovering and embracing the inherited spiritual blessings on our families. Let's read that again. This shifts our focus from breaking family curses to actually discovering and embracing the inherited spiritual blessings on our families. Let me give you an example. I was speaking at a meeting this year with a group of school of ministry students. I observed a young man sitting up front and could see distinct blessings on his life. I could see an anointing for a tribal chief and the seer prophet anointing. I asked a random question to the students that I've only dared to ask publicly in one other setting. I asked if anyone had been experiencing memories that you knew were not your memories, but were the inherited memories from previous generations. I know that is out there, but stay with me. This young man was the only one to raise his hand. Bingo, she says. I knew the whole story right there. I began to break ritual and ancestral worship off his family line. That was the occult binding that had produced the family curse and what was underneath the strange occurrences of inherited memories. I've also seen the same inherited memories pattern in some Masonic families. The family blessing, however, had been buried underneath all of this. There was a true leadership mantle on this man and his tribe and a genuine seer anointing to go with it, and I began to call that out because God was restoring his bloodline blessings. God in heaven proclaimed over Abraham that through him all the families in the earth would be blessed. We access the blessings of Abraham through faith in Christ. Galatians 3:7-9. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. You know, we all say, well, I'm a child of Abraham. Well, the Bible tells us that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. These blessings, gifts, and anointings will often appear with distinction within families. You'll notice some families are musically gifted. Everybody in the family is musically gifted. Others are political leaders. Others are teachers. Some are spiritual leaders and so on. You know, one day I was beside myself over things that were going on, and I wasn't feeling like I was could do what God asked me to do, and God said, daughter, you are your mother's daughter. So what he was saying is my mother was a very, very strong-willed person. She could do anything she placed her hands to do. And so what he was telling me, you can do this thing because you come from your mother. And she could have done it because she died, and you can do it too. Because I had a strong mother who was gifted and could do anything, then that's in me too. Are you understanding this? Even if you've lost your physical family, your distinct bloodline blessings remain, and in Christ we can rediscover them and pick them back up again. Think about your family lineage right now. Are there strong leanings towards certain gifts, specific abilities, and points of influence? Have you experienced deep battles and rifts within your family at the same time? What is the battle really over? It's over your bloodline blessings. Are you seeing this? You need to stop thinking about family curses. And you just, I mean, we need to know that. We need to know that and address that. But you need to more so think about the blessings. You need to start thinking about what came down your bloodline. Your mother was really well-to-do, was she not, Carol Ann? Well, your grandmother, whoever you live with. So, you know, if they have that in your family, then that's in your bloodline, and you can have the monies, too, to do what you want to do. You see what I'm saying here? I don't want you to stop thinking how bad your people were. I want you to start really searching your heart and seeing what kind of blessings were in your family. And how many of us always, we concentrate on the negative, and we don't think about concentrating on the blessing. You know, God has prophesied to somebody and said, you play the drums. They said, no, I don't. Or he might say, you sing. No, I don't. Well, you're going to. So evidently, in their bloodline, there was a musical talent, and God was going to bring it out in them. And some people have said it too. They come back and say, hey, you know what? I really can play the drums. I really can sing. But see, God knows what's in your bloodline. All right, you just get... You know, I've been looking at some family lines, and I noticed that one thing about this one particular family I know, everybody in their family is on drugs and lazy. Everybody, right on, way back, they're all on drugs and lazy. So that's a bloodline curse. And so it just kept going from generation to generation to generation to generation. And there's no blessings in those families at all. And I said, I've never seen such a big family. It's a big, you know, different families, same name, be so cursed is what they are. And I'm glad I'm blessed. Aren't you glad you have some good blessings in your bloodline? I mean, I just think I'm about the most unique person in the world. Y'all know I think that, don't you? I do because, you know what, I do have good blood. I mean, we all have the dark sides in our family, but I have good blood. The bloodline is good. And I just know that I'm okay. And God wants you to know that you're okay. How are you going to lead other people and tell them they're okay if you don't think, you know, that you're okay? Come on. You know, you can be anything that you want to be in Christ. You can. You can be a failure, or you can be the biggest success there is. You can be a multimillionaire, or you can be scraping pennies all your life. It's up to you. It's just totally up to you. My father, earthly father, used to always tell me, he'd say, Jimmy, whatever you can believe for, you can get. And I didn't understand it when I was little, but I sure understood it as my life went on. And God tells us the very same thing. What you can believe for, you can have. But we don't understand that logic. So we really don't pull on it the way we ought to. Amen? Lost my blessing. The reason the spirit of Elijah has been sent to restore the bloodlines is because Satan has worked to destroy it. Restoration of family blessings also serves to restore the earth. And this is a season God is restoring all things. Restoration of family blessings also serves to restore the earth. And this is a season God is restoring all things. As a prophet, you have a leadership role and will often administer, communicate, instruct, and prepare the people to step into the appointed times and seasons within your sphere. God has prophesied to people through me that, you know, you're going to start a ministry, but he'll say, not now. He'll say, you need to sit still and let me train you. Well, they go out there and they, who is she to tell me to sit still? I didn't tell you to sit still. God did to begin with. And they start a ministry and they fall flat in their face. Then they come back and they accuse me. It's not me that did it. God told you to sit still, not do it right now. And then other people, God said, I want you to move and do it right now. And they've said, oh, I'm just waiting to hear God's voice. You already heard it, dummy. He said, move and do it right now, right? I said, well, have you started? No, I'm just waiting to hear God's voice. And I just shake my head. I thought, what are you waiting on? You know? When God called me into ministry, I was very happy in a church. And the pastor's wife got upset with me. And well, the pastor died and she was there. And, you know, I was dumb when I was first born again. I really was. And I went, me or her husband had died, and went to the pastor. And I said, God told me there's sin in the pulpit. You know, and I thought it was in one of the deacons. Well, I knew one of the deacons in sin, and that's what I thought God was talking about. Well, she did me a number that day and kicked me out of the church. I didn't realize it was that, you know, I didn't realize it was the pastor. And so I was innocent when I went and said that to her. But so when I got home, you know, God said, I want you to start your own church. And so when I started a church, I didn't do nothing. You know, God just, he said, my spirit will lead God and direct you. And that's what he's done. And so, you know, I said, God, I don't know how to run a church. He said, you run it like you do a business. He said, just start it. And so I just praised and worship team that I had at the time. They left the church too that day. I said, no, please go back. God didn't tell you to leave. He told me not to go back to that church. But I went back because they didn't want to go back because I wasn't there. And then the pastor really got on me. I never went back there again. But they stayed with me. I said, okay, then God said, start a church. I started a church. So the three of us with our six kids started a church. And God just built it. I didn't know what I was doing either. The only place I had was my home. So I just did what God told me to do. And he just built and built and built and built. You know? So I don't know what to tell you other than just do what God's telling you to do. People said, you're going to fall. Well, I didn't know what that meant at that time. So I didn't fall because it's dumb there too. And I just did. I trusted my Father. I trusted what the Word said. And, you know, I kept myself holy and pure. And I just let God use me and speak through me and do the things he wanted to do through me. I was persecuted a lot. But, you know, God said, they're not persecuting you, they're persecuting me. And so I just kept on going. And then when I get married to Larry, I said, God, what's going to happen when I marry him? He said, you're going to lose a handful of people when you announce it. And he said, whenever you get married, you're going to lose everybody in the church. And that's exactly how it happened. He said, there will come a day when I will rebuild the church. And that day is right here. He's rebuilding the church. I think I've been married 12 years. I don't even know how long I'm married. But, you know, and I don't know why that all happened. Yeah, I do. I'm lying. But anyhow, God said he's going to rebuild the church. So I just... Yes, up here and lie. You know, I just have to do what God's telling me to do, you know. I just have to, you know, I just have to be obedient to the Father. But I'm going to be honest with you. About 6 years ago, I missed God. He said something and I didn't understand what he was saying. And that's why I'm going through what I went through for the past 6 years. That's why it's so important that you never miss God. Because you go through rough places that you wouldn't have to go through if you're listening to for the voice of God. You know, so I'm really encouraging each and every one of you here tonight to really, really hear God's voice for yourself. Don't be hearing what you want to hear. Hear what God is speaking to you. There's many things I really wanted to hear, and God said, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. And I didn't like what he told me, but I did it anyhow. So God knows me and I know God, and he knows that I'll straighten up and do what's right. And he knows I'm a little bit thick-headed, and he knows that I can get very, you know, hard-headed at times. But he loves me anyhow. He loves as much as he had. I would love to hear that singing, Brett. I hear Brother Brett can sing. I would love to hear that, though. I saw, I missed it. I didn't pick up the phone. I was out in the yard and didn't hear it ringing. But I missed that, and I bet it would have been beautiful. So whatever you do, Stay in the will of the Father. Don't get out of the will of the Father. I don't care what he's taking you through. Brother Alan was just saying right now, I feel like God's totally left me. Well, I went through it first. And then Brother Chris went through it. Brother Brett went through it. You're going through it. And Brother Chris Lynch, you're next. You've already started through yours. You're going to be a mess. And I always know when you're getting ready to go through it, you always come against me. And I feel sorry for you, but I had to go through it. So you can, I made it. I'm standing. I'm still laughing. I'm still rejoicing. So y'all can make it too. I'm a woman. You're a man. I'm a man. Come on. So you can make it too. Amen. We're not weak women, are we? No, that's why God's using us. You know, some man came up to me this morning and said, how come it's all right for you women to wear pants? I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about that. Brother Chris studied that. Go ask Brother Chris. So Brother Chris told him it was all right for me to wear pants. So, you know, I don't care. As long as I don't stand up here naked, what do you care? As long as the Spirit of God's moving. Amen? Come on. I've seen men with pants on. They might as well sit down. And I'm not coming against men. I'm just saying, you know, why come against me? Because I have a pair of pants on. I'm going to tell you where I'm wearing pants, because I'm swollen all the time and I can't fit a dress. You know, you buy elastic waistbands, you know. I love you too. Why did I gain this weight? I don't know. God said it was stress, so I don't know. 40-pound came on in 2 weeks, and it won't go nowhere but stays right where it's at, and I don't like it. But that's because, you know what I used to see? This is what I get. I'm going to tell you, this is what I get for judging people. I always said anybody that preached the Word of God should never be heavy. And I've always been thin all my life. All my life I've been thin. Then I gained that 40-pound, 5 years ago now? Cannot lose it for nothing. See, I judged. Don't be judging, because it's going to come back on you. And I have repented for that so many times. I said, God, please. So ask yourself, what time is it? Then with the help of the Holy Spirit, go and prepare the people to align to it. This is what you're supposed to do if you're called prophet. Ask God what season it is, and then go and tell the world what's going to happen. And when it's, don't be a false prophet either and tell the world Jesus is coming. He is going to come, but we don't know when. I'm hearing God say, everybody in your night, you have to stand up for what is right. You have to, at all costs, stand up for what is right. Don't let anybody back you down. If God called you to be a leader, then be a leader. And I've always been a quiet person. I don't like confrontation at all. And what I'm going through right now is driving me to distraction, because I confront and confront and confront. I'm tired of confronting. Even little kids I have to confront. And I'm really tired of it. I would like to really go back to the easy life and just say, oh, well, you know, God, you take care of it. But I can't go there. So if you're a leader, you're going to have to confront. You're just going to have to do that. And you're going to have to be seeking God's face. You know, whenever I was telling you to laugh, you know, when the intercessor fell on her face, I knew we was getting a breakthrough. When I see the intercessor fall on her face, I know we're getting a breakthrough of some type. And, you know, seeing a prophet is an intercessor, too. And so I got to thinking about this, and each one of you who are under me, God's always telling me what's going on in your life. And so some of you I can come and tell you, and others I know I can't, I don't dare, because you would say, who do you think you are? So I keep it to myself, and I just pray. That's I'm supposed to intercede for you. Amen. So God says, get out of the rut, get into the glory. The glory's inside of you. Let the glory come out. Get into the glory. Then, so when God does drop the glory in the summer, you will be all prepared to allow God to use you for what he wants to use you for. And I'm hearing God say, summer is fast approaching, and some of you aren't ready to get the glory. He says, you better get ready to get the glory, or you're going to miss it totally and completely. None of you in here tonight, I know, do not want to miss the glory. You don't, and you, when I was telling you to laugh because there was less flying around the church, God said, I'm going to kill them. They're going to die because they have no fear of me to bring lust into the house of God. You know, we can't play with God. We can't. And see, there's sometimes I stand up here and God takes me over and says things like just some of the things he said tonight. And I say, God, why are you, I'm saying to God, why are you doing this while he's speaking through me? I don't want to go there. He said, I'm going there. And he goes there. So you have to let God take you where he wants to go. You can't dictate to God what he's supposed to say or not say. He's God. Gabriel said to me, who's over God? I said, God. I said, there's nobody over God, honey. Well, why not? I said, because he's God, and he can't quite comprehend that yet. But see, this we try to be God, and we are not God. Get that in your head right. You are not God. You are God's vessel that God wants to work through. You're here on this earth on assignment. When I got revelation knowledge of that, I have never let go of that thing. See, you just aren't here because you're supposed to enjoy the earth. You're here on assignment from God to do one assignment after another assignment after another assignment. You know, and until you get that through your thick head, you're never going to be free in God. You just aren't. Because, see, we think we're on this earth for pleasure. We think we're on this earth to have material things. And that is not why we're here. We are here on assignment from God. We're all different individuals. We all have different callings. And so you have to do the assignments God is calling you in wherever area you're working in. Sister Carolyn is a teacher. She has to teach. That's her assignments, to teach. Barbara, God told her that she's going to have businesses. So that's her assignment, to have these businesses and then lead people to Christ. You know, whatever God's called you to do, that's an assignment. And I'm hearing God say, some of you have broken your assignments and he's upset with you. You have not carried your assignments through. Now, I'm going to use Sister Carol Ann as another example because God told her one time to leave Florida, and she didn't leave Florida, and she stayed, and because she stayed and was disobedient, then she got into trouble. You see what I'm saying here? I've done things, I can't remember anything right now, I'll tell you all anyhow I'm going to do it, but you know, and I've gotten in trouble with God, and because I was disobedient, then I have to suffer the consequences of my disobedience. You know? So what are you doing? Be honest with yourself. What are you doing? Are you being obedient to everything that God is calling you forth to do? You know, one time, I don't like to meddle in anybody's marriages, but one time this person came in, and they're still coming in off and on, and they were fussing about their husband, and God said, leave him. Leave him right now. If you don't, you're going to live the rest of your life in hell with him. Well, okay, they left crying, they were going to leave him. Well, they came back. Well, my pastor says that you're not telling me the truth, and I'm not supposed to leave him. I said, do what you want to do. And she stayed with him and suffered immensely. Still with him, still complaining, and still suffering. You know, don't come back to me and tell me that I'm wrong. Why did you even ask me? And I told her, I said, I don't want to get into your marriage. I don't want to do that. Oh, no, I really need to hear from God. I'd already heard you're supposed to leave him. So, you know, prophets, everybody's not going to believe you. That's not your fault. And you shouldn't cry over that. You're just doing the will of the Father. And God told me he's never tried to vindicate yourself. I'll vindicate you in due time. So if you're doing something for God and somebody's coming against you and saying that isn't God, don't argue. Just be quiet and know that God will vindicate you. God will let the people see who you truly are. When I first opened a church here, all the pastors in this, most of the pastors in this area came here and in the services, and they came for one reason. They were going to stand up. They told me this. They told the congregationists, I was going to stand up at the end of service and ridicule her and mock her and tell you she was not a God. But they stood up instead crying. And told us what they were going to do, and they would say she is of God, and everything she does is from God. So see, God vindicated me. I didn't have to prove myself to nobody. Why are you trying to prove yourself to people? You don't have to do that. If you're walking with God, if you're doing what God's calling you to do, then you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. Quit it. Just quit it and go on and do what God's calling you to do, and let God vindicate you. All right, God is saying this is the end of one season and the opening of a new season. Now, he wants you to step out of the old season and step into the new season tonight. He said, there's a proclamation given into the heavenlies that those of you who will step into the new season, you will walk in a powerful anointing straight from the throne of grace. And tonight he wants you to, if you want that new anointing that he's given out, and he said he's also going to increase the prophetic within you. He's going to increase that prophetic. And when the words come forth, they'll even astound you, because the words will be so astounding that people won't be able to believe their ears at what they know about you. So God wants to give you that anointing tonight for this, to step into the new. And because the new, he's saying, carries a totally new anointing than what the old did. The old anointing is going to stay there. And there's a new anointing for us to do the works that he's calling for us to do right now. So if you want the anointing for the new, then come on up.